Prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. His city, his house. No one beats him in his house. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now. On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour number three of three. It's Thursday, October 29th, 2015. This is Primetime Sports, coast to coast on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, Canada's most listened to sports talk show. I'm Bob McCowan. That's Eric Francis. And our guest for the first portion of this hour needs no introduction. He has been the focus of attention, not just across this country, but across North America. If you are a baseball fan, you are still shaking your head wondering what the heck happened here. He is now the outgoing, maybe premature to say former, outgoing general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays and senior vice president of baseball operations, Alex Anthopoulos. AA, I hate to ask you this, but how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm actually doing all right. I've obviously had a ton going on today. It started obviously yesterday afternoon and had conference calls today and media and, I feel like I got to do what everybody wants, get out of the way, be a pro about it. And even though it's not something I enjoy doing and certainly talking about, I know I have to do it and I'm not going to go run in a corner when there's bad news. So I would enjoy getting crushed by you and would enjoy the next 20 minutes or so that you have planned.
Well, I don't have anything really planned other than to try and understand the story as best as you are willing to give it to us. Let me, I'll start at no particular place other than this. I am made to understand that you informed Rogers of your decision not to return on Monday, that a couple of days of conversations took place. And then at some point yesterday, you decided, no, that your original decision to leave was the right one, and you so informed them. Did you decide that you wanted to, had to depart on Monday, or did the decision in truth come long before that?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Any chance you're going to tell me where you got that?
No, but I think you
or
would.
How accurate you feel it is, or
well, I think you would consider it a reliable source. But I'm asking you. I'm not suggesting anything. Sure. I know. I'm told that you informed the club on Monday that you or Rogers on Monday that you were not going to come back. Is that not true?
I won't do is certainly lie. So, there was some discussions on Monday late in the evening, I guess. Depends how you want to classify early evening, late evening. There was some discussions then. And that carried over into Tuesday, Wednesday. And Wednesday in the afternoon, it was, I guess, finalized, if you want to put it that way. I don't know that it's tough because I certainly want to respect all parties, and it's me. I'm not a big fan of getting into all this stuff, but I know I have to.
I know you're not, but I think the chronology. I think as we go through the conversation, the chronology will become important. But let me ask you the second part of the question, which is, in your mind, did this decision come even earlier than Monday? I mean, you had to be thinking about this. I know you told everybody publicly over and over again you weren't going to discuss contract, you weren't going to discuss your future till the end of the season. I don't know whether you had conversations with them. I don't know whether you told them let's talk at the end of the year. I don't know whether Monday was the first it was the first business day after the season. I don't know whether you want to tell us any of that, how much you want to reveal about it. But I wonder if it started. It had to be in your head long before Monday.
I guess, you know, I know you got big loyal fan base, and they want, you know, I know you need to get something here, but you know, I guess I would say that look, yeah, there's been conversations over time, but I did request, and I made that clear on Monday at my, you know, the press conference we had on Monday was the standard. I still have to do my job as a GM. So,
of course.
That was standard 2015, 2016, and you know I'm going to get asked about it. I've been asked about it all the time. But, you know, what I'd said at the outset, that was completely true. It was the elephant in the room. I knew it was going to come up. That's why I started the press conference with that comment that I had asked Mark and Rogers both, expressed to them that I would prefer with respect to getting into details of a contract or negotiation or any of those type of things, if we can leave that discussion until the end of the postseason, you know, once the club was done. I didn't want to be distracted with that.
Of
course. Doesn't mean that over time you don't have discussions, you know, generally speaking, meetings, things like that. You know, that goes without saying. There's things to do. You're planning. You're trying to work ahead. So, you know, that's fair. Yeah, that's. I would say that's fair.
Did the offer that was made to you, and we're told there was a significant offer, there was a press release earlier today from Edward Rogers that stated specifically that a five-year offer was made to you. And I had been so informed, separate from that, reading that piece of information, so I don't believe there's anything untoward there. But was the offer a different job from the one you have held for the past, well, many years?
Great question. And I didn't expect anything less. First off, I guess I didn't, you know, again, I've seen and been told about press releases, and I was told it was from Edward Rogers that, you know, they'd made a five-year offer, and that, you know, the specifics got out there. And I'm reluctant to speak for anybody else.
I know.
But, yeah, so, I mean, he's coming out and saying that, which is absolutely his right. I mean, he owns the team, so that's absolutely his right. You know, and I can't speak to the fact that I got to know him a little bit the last few days, and, you know, again, yeah, I'm not going to be with Blue Jays, so this is not there's no ulterior motive here on this, but he was incredible to deal with. And, you don't get to deal with that level very often, and he was amazing. And I can't say that enough. He was tremendous to deal with, was incredibly sincere and wanted me to stay here, incredibly generous. You know, my dealings with him were, again, you don't know what to expect. I just haven't, you know, because he's got a lot on his plate, and obviously we have a certain chain of command here, but he was outstanding to deal with, and, you know, very respectful, very generous, and, you know, as sincere I've ever seen anybody who wanted me to stay. And I was beyond flattered and humbled, just the fact that he took the time. He took a lot of time, and time that he probably did not have. And, you know, that told me, you know, he's got a lot more expensive things to deal with and more important things to deal with than me. And he took a lot of time out of his day and a lot of time with me, and I'm going to be forever grateful to him.
Was the offer less than what you have done over the past 6 years?
How much time did I chew up there?
Not enough.
With some good dancing.
No, the offer was to be the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays.
But that's easily said. But would you have had the same level of autonomy under Mark Shapiro that you have had under Paul Beeston?
Yeah, and I'm just going to put on my skates here. You know, one, I'd say that, I guess I would say this, and that, you know, I think those are all private details. Like, I think it goes without saying, when you have a change in general manager, in CEO, ownership, at any level, there's going to be change in philosophy, change in the way things are done. That's expected, and there is absolutely nothing wrong with that, and that should be expected, no doubt about it. So, and I welcome that, and look, at 38 years old, you're going to work for a lot of different people over time. You're going to have to adjust. You're going to have to work with different people and so on. So that's expected, and I wouldn't expect anything else. That's the way it should be. And as far as I'm concerned, owners, CEOs, again, anyone above you, they call the shots. And as far as I'm concerned, they run the show. They give you the playbook. You execute it. And, you know, I felt that way when I was an assistant GM under JP. certainly under Paul the same way. And I think that's the way, you know, these things should go. And, again, I've said this before, I'm a chain of command guy. So, you know, in terms of specifics of, you know, what the organization is going to look like going forward, what the plans are and all that kind of stuff, you know, I don't think it's fair for me to get into that. I think that's Mark's, that's going to be for Mark. And, you know, like not that I got to spend a ton of time with him, but the time I did get spent to him, you know, with him is very bright, sharp, tremendous human being, family guy. And you look at his track record and his career and the success he's had, it's been outstanding. And I think he's going to take this place to a whole new level. And it's already doing well, clearly. But I think it's going to get even better. And, you know, it's in great hands. If my opinion is worth anything, which I'm not saying it is, but it's in great hands. And, you know, from a Rodgers standpoint, I got a little bit more exposed to that and how they feel about the team and their commitment. It is, you know, I feel more confident than ever that they are, you know, beyond behind this team and committed, and they already were, you know, with some of the things we were able to do. So, you know, I'll never be able to get into the specifics, but you know, I think there's a lot of good long-term for this organization. There's no doubt about that.
Take a minute and tell us about your relationship with Paul Beeston.
It's great. I mean, obviously he gave me my opportunity, learned a ton from him. Someone I respect, you know, with everything I have, and I owe him a lot. There's so many people I'm grateful to, but he did not have to take a 32-year-old kid or man and give him the opportunity, and he believed in me, and you know, I can't thank him enough for that. And I was just glad that we were finally able to award him in his last year, and you know, he deserved this. You know, you look at, he was here in the past, and he had that success with Pat, and you know, there was that lull in between when he ran the club, and for him to have come back, and he leads with sellouts every night, the highest attendance we've had since the World Series years, pretty much. I mean, I know there was some years in the mid-90s there that were still doing well, but I don't know how they did the accounting there in terms of how they announced the attendance, but I know that when we announce a number, it is the number. He doesn't fudge a thing. And you look at, obviously, the ball club being a winning club on the field and, you know, changing the uniforms, just all those things. You know, from when he started to where we're at today, he did a great job, and to me, he can close the book. I mean, he had great success the first time around. He came back. Not much had happened with this organization, and he leaves here having achieved everything he wanted, monster TV ratings. At least it felt like we were the number one sports team across Canada for at least that period, which I know it was when he ran this place. And again, packed houses, Blue Jays love, and, you know, I'm not surprised. He did it before, and he did it again, and that's probably the most rewarding thing that he was able to have that on his way out.
I respect your reluctance to answer specific questions, but you hopefully respect that I'm going to ask them anyway.
Absolutely.
If Paul Beeston was the president of the Toronto Blue Jays for 2016, would Alex Anthopoulos still be the vice president, senior vice president of baseball ops?
This is going to be a layup. You know, media training, I'll tell you. You know, Bob, I can't talk in hypotheticals, all that kind of stuff. But, I have no idea. I mean, obviously I've worked with Paul a long time. And, in all fairness, to get into hypotheticals is just, it's too hard to do something like that. I think everybody knew, obviously, off from last year, it was announced that this was going to be Paul's last year and there were going to be changes, and that's to be expected. And it doesn't mean change is a bad thing. I mean, change can be good as well at all levels. So, we're definitely moving in the right direction, and I feel great about where the club is positioned in the short end, the long term. And, you know, you have the backing of ownership, and you have Mark's experience and the success that he's had. And then you have the support of the fan base. I mean, it's rock solid right now. And I do think it's going to continue to climb and continue to move forward.
Yeah. Eric. Until yesterday, you were technically an employee of Rogers. I am an employee of Rogers. I've known Paul Beeston for 40 years. He's a friend of mine, and I think he's a friend of yours. I'm sure he's a friend of yours. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I wasn't angrier than hell with what happened last year when this company tried to hire somebody out from under Paul and pull the shenanigans that they pulled. They backed off from that and ultimately made the, whatever decisions they've made with Shapiro, and I'm fine with that, and I understand all that. Can you tell me you weren't angry for Paul?
What I can say is I was surprised, but again, I never have dealt at the ownership level in this role. It's always been Paul. I've dealt with Paul, and like I talked about at the time, when all that stuff broke, I remember I was on a plane to San Diego. I remember it. I could see myself now. I remember sitting in the seat, the plane, turning on my phone, and then just it exploded with texts and emails. And, you're reading Dan Duquette and Kenny Williams and this and that. And, we're about to go to the winter meetings, which we have a lot of stuff going on, and I didn't know anything about it. And then you have your staff asking you what's going on, and I didn't have any answers. And then I had to call Paul and say, I get a lot of questions about
what
this.
The hell's going on.
Yeah, what's going on? And he said, I didn't want to say anything to you because I didn't want you to be distracted. And I'm going to say the same thing. Don't worry about it. Go do your job, and we'll talk when you get back. So I relayed the same thing to everybody else, but it's tough to – everyone was kind of spinning a little bit, and everywhere I went, I was asked about it. I mean, that just goes without saying. But we moved on, and we did our work at the meetings, and we continued through with the off season, and we had gotten a lot done at that time, which was – It's a little bit, grateful for. We had traded for Estrada. We had traded for Donaldson. We had signed Martin. We
right.
had traded for Travis. We had traded for Liam and Hendricks. So, we had done a lot of the offseason stuff by that time. We had done the smoke move. So Colabello had been claimed, so I believe. So I think, for the most part, we almost did everything. And then I don't think we did a whole lot after that anyways.
Eric.
Alex, I want to ask you if there's one signing or trade that you're along the way that you're most proud of. But I also want to ask you just about, as a human being, this is a very emotional day for a lot of Canadians, a lot of Canadian baseball fans, Torontonians. How are you feeling? Because, is it sadness? Are you relieved? Describe your emotions today.
Yeah, I would say sad. I'd say more than anything else. But at the same time, this was my decision. I've said this over and over again every interview. It is my decision, and I own it. I was given every opportunity to come back, by Mark, by Edward Rogers, by Rick Brace, by ownership, by everybody. So that's why I'm sincere when I say I can't thank them enough. And I think it's important that the questions need to be directed to me and the answers need to be directed to me. And if, they're asked anything, as far as they're concerned, they did, they wanted me back. And they did everything they could to get me to stay. So, I don't know that it's fair to put anything more on them. It should be on me. It's ultimately a decision I felt I had to make. But, I think an emotional day is an accurate one. And it's been at times for me as well, and you got to keep it together when you talk to staff and conference calls and reading some of these things that you're getting. And I'm an emotional guy overall, and stuff like this does not help. I'm not complaining, but, I'd say sad is probably the biggest thing, and you just try to get through it.
You said that you're not coming back because it's not the right fit. What is the right fit for Alex Anthopoulos?
Good question. I guess I don't know what's next is probably the best way to put it. So, I'm optimistic just from today that there will be an opportunity with a Major League Baseball team, in terms of I think there'll be, not as a GM, obviously, but there'll be opportunities, and hopefully something does emerge. From that, I guess, something does emerge, and that'll be the right fit, I guess, is probably the best way to answer that.
Why do you say not as a GM?
Well, just there's no GM jobs available.
Oh, yes, there is. The Florida Marlins just minutes ago fired their general manager.
Oh, wow. That's surprising.
You never know, Alex.
No, I understand that, but I guess I'd say I do not have a job lined up. I would never make decisions. One, it's tampering, and two, I wouldn't have. This is this was the job for me, so it wasn't going to be a better job for me. That wasn't there's no team that was going to be better for me than the Toronto Blue Jays at that time. Going forward, it's not the right fit for me. So. I guess in my mind, there's no general manager jobs out there, and that's fine. It's not necessarily, I don't live and die by being a GM. I love to work in baseball. And I think I said this to our staff after, we lost game 6 in Kansas City. We were just sitting around in Gibby's office after, and I just kind of remarked, obviously to win and see the fan base and everything is great. That's a huge part of why we do this. There's no doubt about it. Just that you see communities just totally attach themselves to the team, and the sense of pride is really gratifying to have a part in that. But you know, the other component is the people you work with is probably as big, and that's what these jobs are about. Again, you're here to get a job done and win. That's everyone's mandate. But because you spend so much time away from home and you travel and so many long hours, the people you work with, in my mind, it's just such a critical component. And that's the other rewarding part of this job. So, you know, those are all things that make these jobs fun.
This is your baby. This is what you created. You came within an eyelash of moving to the World Series and who knows, maybe winning a World Series. There is no player in this on this team right now that you did not have, I don't think, have a role in acquiring. Everything about this organization is yours. It has your name on it. It has your imprint on it. How do you walk away from that?
Well, one, it's, and I said this, you know, when I asked you about the Sporting News Award, this is not.
Congratulations, by the way.
I appreciate that, but it just, you know, it's not a one, it's the same thing. It's just, it's not same quote. It's not a one man show, and there's not enough hours in the day. And like you said, when you go through the roster and everything else, I can go through a myriad and of things that went into acquiring those players, drafting and developing those players. And every player on the roster has a story behind it. And at the end of the day, you know, the GM is the one that, you know, will certainly have to be accountable for all that kind of stuff. But it's a group thing, and it's, you know, it's the Tony LaCavas and Andrew Chinnish and Perry Manassian, John Gibbons and Charlie Wilson and Doug Davidson. But the list goes on and on and on. And you know, from that standpoint, you know, it's a group thing. You never feel like it's, you know, sometimes I see these GMs say my team, and no disrespect to the GMs that say that, but I don't get that. I just don't. It's not your team, in my opinion. It's a group, and I don't know the GM in the world that can do these jobs alone. So it's our team, and even with our employees, sometimes when I say, "Wow, you guys did a great job," or "You guys are doing well," and it's like, "No, you're part of the we," and this is, you know, everyone is really pulling into this thing, and everyone's putting in a ton of time. So it's all of us, and there's, look, a lot of people are still here, and you know, those are the people I'm more concerned for, and I hope this team does great. I think they will do great. I think there's some work to do, like we talked about on Monday. In the rotation, but position player depth is tremendous. Great defensively. Continuity is going to be important, I think, and should be a little bit of work and tweaks, and I think this team wins the AL East again. So I think you know, great things are going to be ahead.
I'm assuming you've spoken to Gibby today, and if you have, how tough was that conversation, and was it the toughest of all the conversations you've had today as you say your goodbyes?
And I talked to Gibby beforehand. You know, he was, obviously I'm close to him, and it's pretty important role, so for his job. There's anybody that really leans on me as a direct report, it's him. I spoke to him when this was finalized last night. You know, we did a conference call with the big league staff last night, and obviously asked everybody to keep it quiet. And, you know, it leaked this morning. And, you know, from that point, I still had to talk to the scouts and the development staff, and we had a conference call set up, and then I did my conference call with the media. So I addressed the office staff in terms of baseball operations yesterday late afternoon after, you know, things were finalized. And I talked to Gibby that night. And so today, I talked to him once today. He wanted to see how I was doing, and I wanted to see how he was doing. So, you know, that friendship will remain no matter what. And I hope he continues to do great, great things. But still trying to get caught up, and I think I've reached pretty much everybody, even if it was as informal as a big conference call, because it's hard to really get a hold of everybody in the organization. And if people want to reach out one-on-one, which some of them have, I'll continue to do that as well.
Your deal with Gibby was basically a one-plus-one deal. Isn't that correct, that you could essentially pick up the option, but he'd never be a lame duck manager?
Yeah, it was never that we were going to pick up the option, because that's still – that still runs into the, you know, the front office has a decision to make, and it becomes a topic. And the whole thought behind it was just to eliminate the story. So in my opinion, I always felt like whether it was a GM or a manager, if the discussion is going to be whether they should be retained or not, it should not be based on an expiring contract. It should be based on the fact that they're either performing or they're not performing.
Right.
And with Gibby, there was never going to be a contract conversation. And they're never, you know, it's going to be, do we think he's doing a good job? So his contract rolls over every January 1st. So he's always operating. If he gets to January 1st each year, he's always operating on a two-year deal, which essentially means he's never on a one-year contract.
Would you had you stayed, would you have even contemplated not renewing Gibby's deal?
Oh, of course not. I mean, he did a great job. I think he's going to be in the running for manager of the year. So he won the American League East. We had a tremendous rotation. Our position player group is great. I thought he did an outstanding job. There's, you know, continuity when you're winning is important. So if anything, we have the best year that we've had in this organization in 22 years. If anything, I think he's got a chance to be here for a while. But again, that's not going to be my decision.
Well, I was going to ask you, do you think his job is in any way in jeopardy now?
You know, it's impossible for me to comment on that. All I know is how I feel about him. I think he's a tremendous manager. I think he does a tremendous job, and I think he did a tremendous job. And, you know, I said that on Monday, and, you know, I think he's one of the better managers in the league. But, you know, in terms of future decisions for the ball club, things like that, obviously that's, you know, now it's really not going to be my place to comment on it or talk about it. But, you know, I can't say enough about how strongly I feel about him.
Alex, can you do us a favor? Just look down at your phone and see if you've got an email yet from the Florida Marlins.
I've still got some texts and emails and all that kind of stuff that I need to return.
Maybe a few.
But, you know, that stuff will all get taken care of.
I think you've answered the question already, but before we let you go, what do you think might be next?
You know, I don't know. I don't know that I'm real excited about waking up on Monday with nowhere to go. I haven't done that in a long time, and I'm pretty active, and I like to keep going. And so I know I'm pretty sure it's going to feel like the brakes get slammed on a car that's been going fast, just with everything you have going on as a GM. But at the same time, a little bit excited to, you know, do some things, be more of a dad. You know, sometimes I bring my daughter to school, but I can come get her now at the end of the day, at least for a week or two. But I'm not, I mean, obviously I love to work. I love the game. I'm going to work probably till the day I die. It's who I am. So, probably take the week, see how things go, get caught up and just let the dust settle a little bit. And then from there, I'm going to, you know, see what opportunities are out there, and, you know, if there's something there that makes sense, and I'm going to hope to get something done.
Would you contemplate a job not in baseball? Have you contemplated a job not in baseball for the last, well, more than a decade?
You know what? The only time I ever did was when I was a scouting coordinator when I first got here, living in downtown Toronto, making $38,000 and paying rent in the condo, and I met my wife, and then I started thinking about, she wasn't my wife yet, but what if I want to get married? What if, you know, how am I going to actually buy a house, and how am I going to do some of these things? So the first time for a brief moment I thought about, as much as I love this, I just don't know that, you know, can I actually have a family? And she made more money than me at the time, so it worked out a bit. But I haven't thought about that at all, a job outside of baseball, not right now. I'm in baseball mode. I don't think I'm prepared for that yet. Maybe down the road, but I definitely have the fire for it.
Is your wife back working, or is she a full-time mom now?
She was working after we had our first child, and then I remember, you know, she worked at Royal Bank on Front Street at the head office, and I remember daughter was at daycare, and then I would be getting phone calls. I'd be in meetings, and she couldn't be reached, and then I just came home and I said, look, this probably isn't going to work with my hours and my travel. Someone's got to stay home. So she's been home for the last few years. I don't expect that to change. You know, the big thing is with my travel. She's basically responsible for the kids and all that kind of stuff. She brought them to swimming tonight and all that, because I've just been slammed with phone calls and emails and all that.
No, I just wondered if you'd had the conversation with her. Yeah, honey, guess what? I'm out of work. You got to go back.
Yeah, we did. I kind of joke with her a bit. But, you know, one thing is we don't live beyond our means, and I don't think we'll ever change with that respect. And, you know, that's one thing I've always remember, even when I got this job, you know, we bought a house, and I even joked with her. I said, hey, you know, after a year or two, you never know, we may need to sell it. But I think I've tried to maintain that I want the lifestyle that I have to be the same whether I'm a GM or not. So there's no adjustment. I don't need to adjust to my lifestyle. I don't need to have, there's no shock to anybody. I'm going to drive the same car. I'm going to live in the same house. And that way I don't need to rely on the salary or the status of or the identity of being a GM. It could just be me. So, and there's no change. So I don't have to adjust anything right now. It's the same thing.
You're going to be stopped in the street for the rest of your life when you're in Canada by people asking you, hey, what happened with the Blue Jay thing? Why did you not come back? You need a quick answer because you're going to get asked it every day of your life for the rest of your life. What's your answer to Joe Fan when he asks you that question?
Yeah, probably the same thing I said today. I said, you know what? I loved it. It was great. I loved every minute of it. Fan for life. I'm going to live in the city, I believe, forever. You know, maybe I end up somewhere else for a short period, but I will end up here. So no doubt about it, Toronto's going to be my long-term home. Just say, look, I just wasn't the right fit, and that's what I said today. And I'll want to jump into some other conversation or topic. But well, tell me about when you did this trade or that. And we'll probably spend more time on that kind of stuff.
Listen, we've been threatening for a long time to get together with the wives and have dinner, and I hope that we'll still have that opportunity. And I'm going to see if we can do it sooner rather than later, because I'm not sure where later you're going to be. But we want to say thank you to you on behalf of all the fans, not just for what you did with this organization over the last half dozen years, not for what you did over the last few months, but for the way you've conducted yourself during the entire time that you've been here. You've always been more than gracious with us. And if I haven't said it before, I want to say now, it was my distinct pleasure in dealing with you. And I hope we'll be able to have some sort of relationship wherever you wind up. We wish you nothing but success. And thank you again very much.
Really, really appreciate that. And definitely going to be a friend of the show, and whether it's getting together, I'm open to all those things. I love the city. I love the organization. That will never change. And the relationships I've made, obviously you make relationships with the team, but whether it's been the people in the media, the fans, everybody else, it's been top flight for me from day one. I don't have one regret. It was a thrill, top to bottom. And I'm not going away. I'm going to be around, and in some capacity, I guess, in sports, I would hope, and definitely be a friend of the show at any time. And thank you, and and I appreciate all the fans as well. It's been a great ride.
Good luck, Alex.
Okay.
Thanks. Alex Anthopoulos, the outgoing Blue Jays general manager and senior vice president of baseball operations. It's still a little surreal. It's even though, there was a part of me that for the last couple of months thought this would happen, might happen. Mm-hmm. There was also a part of me that said, nah, they'll figure a way out of this. This is too stupid. It's too stupid to let this guy go. They won't be that dumb. And I'm not sure they were dumb. I think they made, other than going back a year and what they did with Beeston, which was really the beginning of this thing, once they got into the conversations over the course of the summertime in finding a replacement for Beeston, they sort of committed themselves to hiring somebody that was a baseball guy. This looked like the perfect fit. Alex isn't going to stay. They didn't know he was going to quit. They thought they were going to fire him.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't, or not going to renew his contract, more accurately.
100%, I don't think they were bringing him back.
He hadn't accomplished what their aspirations were. He'd been given a run as long as just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say it was surprising that he lasted the last couple of years. A lot of people wanted him gone.
He was sub 500 at that point in time, 3 months ago.
They couldn't possibly, no one could have, including Alex and Paul, could not have anticipated what was going to happen in the months of August and September of this year, and then on into October. Couldn't possibly have. And then it was too late.
It was too late. Exactly. It was too late. And they tried. And again, I still think a tiny bit of credit needs to go to the Corp for trying. But the die was cast. And feelings had been hurt with Beeston, with Anthopoulos. And so
And I have to believe all these things played a role here in this, Eric. I think the Beeston thing played a significant role. I think it made Alex angry that they treated Beeston the way they did. I think the hiring of Mark Shapiro with his history of being a president slash general manager, a real involved, I'm going to make all the decisions. You do the work. I'm going to actually say what we do and we don't do. That has been his history. There's no reason to believe it was going to change. And I believe that Rodgers gave him that right because at the time they thought both guys were going. This seemed like an ideal kind of candidate. And when that changed, they could not unscramble the egg. They'd scrambled it. Now they couldn't unscramble it.
Well put.
And they were dead.
If they hadn't gone on the run they went over the last 2-3 months, I wouldn't say that this day would be a footnote, but it wouldn't have a nation right now angry slash sad slash confused. It would have just been a quietly going into the night, thanks for your time, Alex. You're a classy man, but we all agree you had to go. But the last 2 months, like you said, changed everything. 3 months.
Well, and not only that, but even on that Friday of game 6 of the ALCS, when the Blue Jays lost, and as heartbreaking as any loss is, this one was especially heartbreaking given the scenario in the top of the ninth inning with the opportunity to at least tie it and probably go ahead and send it to a game 7 where we thought we can beat Cueto. Stroman against Cueto is a matchup made in heaven.
Nice matchup, yes.
And then it's on to the World Series. And yet, although there was a level of disappointment, simultaneously this week, what I've experienced is incredible optimism. We had Colabello on earlier this week, and one of the things we asked him was, like, would you be happy if the season was starting again in 2 weeks? And he literally said, tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these guys, I mean, they weren't ready to quit. They're ready to start again. They felt like they had a team capable of winning a World Series. They didn't get it done this time. Let's start again. Let's fire this engine up. And the fan base thought that too. The fan base was talking about, all right, we made this run, and yeah, we got some pieces to fix. We got to figure out what we're going to do with the pitching staff. Do we re-sign Estrada? Do we re-sign Price? Are we going to noodle the bullpen a little bit? But the starting eight, they're there. They're signed long-term.
Yeah.
A couple for 1 year, but we've at least got them for another year. There was instant optimism about next season. And somehow that has come apart.
That's what everybody's so upset about today. Everybody wants to think that next year we're going to pick up where we left off. And the fear, here's where it gets really interesting to me, is because the biggest question in all of this today should be, how will this affect the team? There are going to be those who say this doesn't affect the team one iota. There's a school of thought out there that I would submit to you that this might actually be a good thing for the team, because this company that owns the Blue Jays now feels compelled to go out and win back the fans that they're angering right now. That's an interesting school of thought in my mind, because we took a big PR hit here. We've got to make amends somehow. So we bring Gibby back. Maybe we do pony up the money for Price. I don't know.
Let's take the break. We've gone 38 minutes here and not taken a break, and we must do that. We'll come back with more Primetime. We'll continue on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I wish that I could fly into the sky, so very high. Or a apologies. We went a little bit longer with Alex Anthopoulos than we had originally intended, and I don't think anybody would complain about that. I would hope not. And if you did,
maybe Alex would.
He didn't seem to. I think he was
great.
Perfectly willing to stay as long as we wanted him to, and we, you know, again, we thank him. But we don't have time for Ken Rosenthal to join us, and maybe just as well. Although it would have been intriguing to get his take less on the Anthopoulos situation, but more on the Dan Jennings situation. Dan Jennings, the now former general manager of the Florida Marlins, who had, now, was it $5 million left on his contract? Was that accurate? $5-plus million left on his deal when he was $5.6 million left on his contract with over 3 years with the Florida Marlins, and was fired today as their general manager. Coincidence?
He was fired as we were talking to Alex.
Well, it was announced, yeah.
I got to tell you, where there's smoke, there's fire. And you're going to connect.
You think Alex covered up well that he didn't know that was going to happen?
I thought it was a genuine reaction.
You did?
He said, oh, gee, wow. Meh, I don't know. I was going to ask Alex, are you worried about what it's going to look like if a week from now you have a press conference announcing you're the GM somewhere else, or that you've got a very prominent job with another organization? Are you worried about how that looks optically? Because then we'll all be quick to say this
nope.
was already in the
works.
The
answer to that is nope.
Yeah. He wouldn't be worried.
Well, look, he came to the Toronto Blue Jays from the Montreal Expos. He had a subservient role with the Montreal Expos, but while he was there, the guy who owned the team now owns...
Ding, 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 the Florida Marlins.
Correct.
Too many dots to connect for this to not make
I don't pretend to know whether he thinks Lurie is a complete and utter idiot or whether he loves him. But one thing I think is probably true, they probably know each other. If not from the Montreal days, because look at Alex's status with the Expos was not such that I'm sure the owner knew everybody, all his employees.
Yeah.
But in the last 6 years, Alex has been the general manager of a Major League Baseball team. He's talked to people, and God knows how many people the Florida Marlins have gone through.
Yeah.
Is that a job? Lurie's got lots of money. Sometimes he spends it. Sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah. But again, Alex, I don't think it's about the money for Alex. We all agree with that. I mean,
I'm not buying that.
Really?
Not buying that for a second.
You were the one who said that you think that he was offered substantially more than the $2 million that's kind of been reporting.
Yep.
And I don't disagree with you. So he walked away from a boatload of money
but
here.
But all that means is that he was steadfast in why he wasn't going to stay. He won't tell us why. He won't point the finger. He won't say it was because of Rogers. He won't say it was because of Shapiro. But it's one of those two. He's not leaving because Beeston's leaving. Well, maybe he is. Maybe that's part of it.
I think
but then that's
all
on
part of the puzzle. Yeah, but we all know that correct me. It's pretty much a fact that he's leaving because he wouldn't have had the same job description. And you asked him if the job description was going to remain the same, and he tap danced around it as he's wont to do.
Yeah,
but this was all about control of what he'd been controlling all along. He wanted to continue that, and clearly he wasn't going to be able to. This, to me, is an open and shut case in terms of why he's leaving.
Yeah.
I think it had nothing to do with money. I think that if the Blue Jays said to him, we'll give you $10 million a year to stay, I think he still would have said no. I really believe that, because I think he's going to go somewhere and get $5 or $10 million a year.
Well, that's the point. The point isn't that he's turning that money down because he expects to make nothing. It's because he's pretty confident in his own abilities, his own track record, and his current resume, which has never, ever been better. If you were going to write a resume and put what Alex Anthopoulos can put on his, there's a whole lot of jobs that you can get. And he's going to get one, and it's going to be quick, and it's not going to be as vice president or assistant to anything.
No.
He's going to get an A-list job, and he's going to make a lot of money. Thank you very much. And, well, we wish him well.
He added Executive of the Year to his resume this morning. That helps, too.
Don't suck either. We got to get out of here. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night from Toronto.